Welcome to Lifting Voices. I am your host, Renee Powell, president of the NAACP Troy, New York branch. During this very unusual time in dealing with the effect of this international pandemic caused by the coronavirus, there have been changes to how we can participate in events that will affect our lives for the next 4 to 10 years. Two events that affect our lives in a major way are specifically, one, responding to the U.S. Census, and two, voting in the primary and general election. Today, we will focus on the changes that have occurred over the past 2 months relating to voting. My guest is Noreen McKee. Noreen is a board member of the League of Women Voters on the Rensselaer County. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government and works to increase understanding of major public policy issues and influences public policy through education and advocacy. Noreen is also a member of the Troy branch of the NAACP. I've worked with Noreen over the past 2 years dealing with the Board of Elections implementation of early voting, and I have experienced firsthand her passion for preserving the voting rights of all through her advocacy work through the League of Women Voters and the Troy branch of the NAACP. Noreen, welcome to Lifting Voices, and thank you for taking the time to enlighten us on the voting process changes for 2020.
Thank you, Renee. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, this conversation will focus on the changes that the governor has made in response to the need to social distance and be safe during this pandemic time. The first question I want to ask you is, what are the fundamental changes that the governor made to the voting process for 2020 via the executive order?
Well, Governor Cuomo signed two executive orders on voting. One consolidated the presidential primary with the state and local primaries to be held on June 23rd. Originally, the presidential primary was to be held on April 28th, but because of the coronavirus, the decision was made to consolidate the two primaries. And then the other order that he issued was because of the potential to contract the coronavirus, his order now allows all New Yorkers to vote by absentee ballot so they can vote safely in their homes.
Now, in the interest of time, let's focus on the absentee ballot voting process. Now, I've worked as a pollster for over the past 3 years, and I know that there's a procedure and process that must be followed to the letter in order to have your vote count. Noreen, can you share with us the steps that must be taken to make sure our vote counts when we're participating in the absentee ballot voting process?
Sure, and you're right. It's really critical that all the steps are followed to the letter of the law. First, you must fill out an application for an absentee ballot, and they can either be downloaded from your county board of elections if you have a computer and a printer, or you can call your board of elections and request that they mail one to you. And you can also email a request to your board of elections, but I highly recommend that you call them first to find out exactly what they need or what they require in writing from you to apply. And then after you apply or after you receive the application, you fill it out. And filling it out is really straightforward. The first box requires a reason for requesting the absentee ballot. And if your reason is due to the coronavirus, you can check, according to the executive order, temporary illness or physical disability. So that's really important. You have to have a reason to vote by absentee.
Let me just interrupt you for 1 minute, Noreen. So in the past, we could not participate in the absentee ballot voting process unless we had a valid excuse, right, such as a illness that would prevent us from going to the booth?
Exactly. There are other reasons, such as your absence from the county on election day, if you have a permanent illness or disability, or you're a primary caregiver to someone who is permanently disabled or ill. And if you are a resident or a patient in a VA hospital, and if you are in jail awaiting trial or grand jury, or in prison for a crime that is not a felony.
Well, this is significant. My hat's off to the governor for putting citizens of New York in the forefront.
The league really was lobbying for this as soon as, you know, they started to shut things down. You know, our goal is to make voting accessible for all the voters. And we felt that because of the coronavirus and the implementation of, social distancing, that a lot of folks would stay at home and not vote. This allows everyone to stay at home and vote safely in their homes.
Okay.
And, you can also, I just should say, voters are also going to be allowed to vote in person on Election Day or through early voting for the 9 days prior to Election Day. So that's also going to be an option. And the league is really, early voting will allow, because it's over 9 days, you have more time. The lines are not going to be there. So it should be a lot safer. But again, for those who, especially the elderly who do not want to leave their homes, they want to stay safely inside, this is a wonderful way to exercise their right to vote.
So after the complete process of filling out their application, we stopped off at giving a reason why you're using the absentee ballot. What's the next step?
So after you fill it out, you have to sign and date it and then mail it to your Board of Elections, or you can drop it off in person. If you mail it, it's got to be postmarked 7 days before the election, which would be June 16th. And if you apply in person, you have to do it by June 22nd, the day before the election.
So mailing June 16th, I guess that's to give them time to vet your credentials and make sure you're who you are. And then go there in person, they can do that on the spot.
That's right. Right. Great. And one major thing they're going to do, and we can get into this a little later, is they want to make sure you're registered to vote. So you still have to be registered to vote. And, I can go through that a little bit later. But yeah.
So, during my time working with the Board of Elections and at the polls, one of the key things that they were always told us when we would do an alternative ballot is make sure you date and sign. That is very important.
Especially
when you're doing an absentee ballot. Date and sign that form.
Right. And then, after they get your application and they vet it and you're approved, the board will mail you an absentee ballot. And you'll receive three things. You're going to receive a ballot. And the ballot is just like the ballot that you would fill out if you went to vote in person. So you fill that out and you insert that into the ballot envelope that you're going to receive. And you're also going to receive a pre-addressed envelope, a return envelope back to the Board of Elections. But you fill it out, you insert it into the ballot envelope, you seal the ballot envelope and turn it around. On the back of the envelope, you must sign it and date it, just like you said. And then you insert the ballot envelope into the pre-addressed envelope, and then you can mail that.
Now that sounds a little complicated. But it's very simple if you've seen the process. Will voters have any assistance available to them if they could get confused about what they're doing in this process?
Well, you can call the Board of Elections and ask them, certainly they would help you process this. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, because they are the arbiter of whether or not this is going to be a valid ballot to count.
And that would be the best place to get your information, since they're the ones who had the final say so on the validity of your vote. Well, Noreen, this is wonderful information, and I would love to have you back to talk about things like the candidates, also to talk about the early voting process because of the COVID virus. Things are changing every day, so I'm quite sure we'll need to come back and have another conversation. I'd like to thank you so much for providing that critical information and explaining the process of absentee ballot voting. Is there anything else you might want to add, Noreen?
Well, I'd just like to say that you have to make sure that your absentee ballot is postmarked on June 22nd. That is, it has to be received by June 30th. June 22nd is the day before the election, so it has to be postmarked on that day if you mail it. Now, if you do it in person, you can take it to the Board of Elections on Election Day, and you have up till 9 p.m. when the polls close. Okay, so that would be another option.
Okay, so you could get the absentee ballot, fill it out, and drop it off and not have to stand there in line and go through a whole process.
Right, yeah. You're not dropping it off at a polling site. You're dropping it off directly at the Board of Elections.
Great information. Okay, Noreen, well, thank you so much.